Well, 70 years ago, a little group of folks were getting together and going to form what would become the Adrian Bible Fellowship, which then would become Berean Baptist Church. And, of course, last week we gave you out the letter that announced the starting of the church, and I wanted to read that little section. I'm preaching about that this morning and tonight. The second from the bottom. In the midst of the conditions of the present hour, of course that's talking about World War II, there is a place and a need for the testimony and ministry of a group of Christian men and women who will go all out for Jesus Christ. And the words "all out" were in quotation because that was what the people wanted to do. There was certainly many, many churches in that day and many religious organizations. The Gospel Tabernacle was right over here and right at McKenzie and Maumee, right in that little corner over there. And they were having great meetings, had the old sawdust trail, and many of you remember that. Some talk about that even today. And people were getting saved and people's lives were being changed because God changes lives. Amen. But this little group said, we want to organize a church. We want to have a church. And the leader there at the tabernacle did not necessarily see it that way, didn't want to have a church necessarily. And so this group wanted to get together. And on announcement here of the service, December 13th, 11 o'clock and 7:30. By the way, started off not only with Sunday morning, but Sunday evening service. Amen. And that was a blessing. And on December 13th, of course, they met, had their first service. And praise the Lord for that. And, of course, that's our roots. And if you come next Sunday night, you'll get to see the presentation of the Bereans' first Christmas. And that is the history, a little history of the startup of the church and how God used it in so many ways. And so many have been saved as a result of Berean Baptist Church and our ministries here, not just here in our area, but if you think about our mission outreach all over the world, just countless thousands and thousands of people have been saved tonight. I'll give some statistics about that, but praise the Lord for Berean Baptist Church. And many of you that were here in those early days, I got to spend some time talking to the Alfreys, and both of them. Of course, Leona was here in the very beginning. She wasn't a charter member, but she was here in those first days, those first services. And boy, her mind is so sharp on some of the things that took place. And Bill talking about bus breakdowns, and that sounds like today. But just talking about some of the things that they did. One of the early bus ministries in the nation when bus ministries were first starting out. Berean Baptist Church had a old bus. We got a picture of that that I believe you'll be able to see next week. And not the bus, but the picture. And no, it's not one of ours that's out there. But just some of those early days and some of the great things. But I want to focus on those two words again. The words "all out," all out. And you say, why are we reading in Genesis? Well, I'll explain that. I'm glad you asked because I will explain that in the next few minutes. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I do thank you so much for a group of folks that want to go all out. And Lord, that certainly has not changed here at Berean Baptist Church, as there are still many, many folks who go all out. We saw it yesterday, Father, and what a blessing seeing the shepherd ministry of our church. People going all out to have a Christmas party for dear, dear people in our church who, Lord, have been a part of this ministry for so many years. And many were saved here in our church. And we thank you so much for that, and thank you for people going all out. We saw it just with a fundraiser of in our Christian school and some folks going all out. We see it in activities, teens going teen ministry and young people involved yesterday in an activity, and people involved in the next couple of weeks in several things. Teens going soul winning and just folks going all out. A Wednesday night with master clubs and just all the activities, so many things going on. Our Reformers ministry and on Friday night. And just thinking of just in one weekend, junior churches going on now, Sunday school classes a while ago, and people going all out to win people to Christ. Thank you so much for that. Help us now to understand that you are that way, Father. You're an all-out God, and everything you do is all out. Help us, Lord, to be that way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In academics, you'll study, you'll work hard, you'll memorize, you'll maybe if you're taking a very important test or something like that, and you might even stay up all night. I don't know. I'm not going to ask who has and who hasn't. But if it's that important to you, you may stay up all night studying, memorizing things. Why? Because you're trying to get the best grade. We might say that that student went all out to get that grade. It's interesting. Ben Pearson, he texts me often, and I have to admit that I've texted my longest paragraphs in texting back and forth to Ben. Usually I answer with one word. Ben requires more than that. He wants to carry on long conversations. He asks deep theological questions, and it's hard to just answer yes or no. But that's the way I like to text. But Ben was concerned over one of his papers, and he asked me to pray for him in that, and I know he was working hard. But I just asked this question, did you do your best? You know, he was just concerned. I want to get the best grade. I want to get, you know, and I said, did you do your best? And he said, yes, I did. And see, that's called going all out. And of course, he did well on that test, and we were praising the Lord together. But to get the best grade, you're going to have to go all out. In sports, we just finished the Olympics, and you know that if somebody received a gold medal, even a silver medal, even a bronze medal, in fact, I think we'd have to recognize that anybody that was attending the Olympics and involved as a participant, they must have gone all out sometime during their lives in order to do as well as they did. And we see it in sports all the time. You practice hours and hours and hours. Many people like to participate, and they'll play in the games and everything. They don't like the practice, and yet if you don't do the practice and you don't do that, then you obviously are not able to go all out in the participation of the activity. I remember when I went to work at RCA, I was very young at the time, and was very excited about trying to move up in that business and everything. It was before God had called me to preach. And I remember working real hard when I went into work, and I would go all out and give it all I had. That's the way my dad taught me. And by the way, that's the way many of you were taught by your dads as well. And I'll never forget when the union representative came to me and he said, hey, you need to back off. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you need to back off. He said, they're going to expect this from everybody if you keep it up like this. And I had a lot to learn back then, but in reality, that should be the norm. We should go all out in what we do. And I'll never forget that. But I thought of this passage of Scripture, and it is a way from creation on that God has shown us He's an all-out God. I mean, everything He does is all out. And you read this passage of Scripture, and we go in 6 days from nothing in verses 1 and 2. Look at it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. And the Spirit of God moved. You have to understand, God is going all out as He creates everything. And the Spirit of God, we go from nothing to everything. Chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. I mean, God does it all, and He doesn't mess around with what He does. There was not a flaw in anything that He did. I want you to really think about that. I got to thinking about it. Every time I get on thinking universe, I get a headache. Because every time I get to the end of the universe, and you know how you do, I don't know if you ever do this, but I get all the way to the end of the universe in my mind, and then I run into a black wall, but it seems like there's always something on the other side. And the universe is that big, and yet our God created it all. Our God created every part of it, and from the beginning, He starts with nothing, and then He goes to everything, and in the midst of all of God's creation, He just keeps saying, and that was good. And that was good. And that was good. Why? Because it was perfect. That's why. Because it was created right. Because over and over and over again, God created, and it was good. And everything was made to live and then to replenish itself. And it was all things were made with needs, food, water, oxygen. That's what we need. And for food, God gave a garden. And for water, God gave a mist. And for oxygen, God gave plants to give that off. And every need was created then, and so was the fulfillment of that need created for everything. I'm talking about the little worm. I'm talking about birds. I'm talking about the fish in the sea. I'm talking about amoeba. I'm talking about little microorganisms. God made them to have a need. God created the fulfillment of the need. And when he was done, it was all there. It was all there. Everything was done because God went all out. God did it all. God made sure there was nothing missing. He did everything. Our bodies do everything they're supposed to do. Amen. I mean, God made them to be that way. And I understand, you know, through the years, there have been sicknesses and there have been things that take away and different things like that. But I'm just saying, when God created everything, everything was set to run. It was made perfectly. Everything. I'm talking about the sun. I'm talking about the earth where it is. I'm talking about the tilt of the earth being exactly what it needed to be. I'm talking about the spin of the earth. I'm talking about gravity. I'm talking about everything was where it needed to be, exactly how it needed to be there, because God went all out. He didn't hold back one thing. He didn't leave anything for us to do. He didn't. You say, well, the buildings weren't built. We didn't need buildings. They didn't need, Adam and Eve were quite well. They did very well in the Garden of Eden. They were fine. Everything was there. Everything was there that they needed. Everything was there, and man was complete, and he was made perfectly. As far as the physical part, everything was there. All of life had its needs that God made them to need, but God provided all the needs. Nothing was lacking. That's what it means to go all out. Where there's nothing lacking. All out this morning and tonight, I want to talk to you about those two words, all out. I want to challenge you with those two words. And again, from the very beginning, phooey on evolution, you know, phooey on all that. God did it in 6 days. He made everything perfectly so that it would all replicate, so that it would have needs, but the needs would all be met, and everything just went perfectly according to the plan of God Almighty and the creation of God. Why? Because God went all out. There was nothing lacking. Everything was perfectly how it should have been. And so I want to talk to you about those two words, all out, and understand that's how it's always supposed to be. Don't let people tell you, well, you need to back off. Don't let people tell you, you need to slow down a little bit. Don't let people tell you that we should somehow hold back. Listen to me. God is an all-out God, and he expects us to go all out for him. You can only do what you can do, but you can do it. Amen. Well, that's tough. Number one, we have an all-out Savior. I want to just show you. We have an all-out Savior. Look at Romans 8, verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. We have an all-out Savior. I mean, he did not hold back anything. Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God sending his own Son. He went all out. He sent his own Son. He didn't just say, okay, I'll change the law and make it okay. No, he gave the law, he shows the law, and the law condemns us. And God said, I'm not changing my law. My law is true. My word is right. But he said, I will send my own Son. I will send my own Son to become sin and pay the price for sin. God said, I won't change the law. Oh, today we want to change that law, don't we? We want to rewrite that law. We don't want to be guilty. We don't want to be sinners. We'll run from that. We'll whitewash our sin. We'll call it something else, anything but the sin that it really is. God said, you don't have to whitewash it. You don't have to change it. God said, I sent my Son. God said, I went all out for you. Look at Philippians 2 and verse 7. Philippians 2, verse 7. And we'll go back there again later on. But Philippians, boy, this is such a wonderful passage of Scripture. and such a blessing, Philippians 2, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God Almighty sent his son, born of a virgin, according to Isaiah 7 and verse 14, which, by the way, ends with the word Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God Almighty sent his son to come to this earth and to leave the ivory palaces of heaven and to leave the streets of gold of heaven and to go out of the gates of pearl of heaven and to leave a perfect, holy environment to come to a sin-cursed world to die on a cross for us. He went all out for us. Choir saying, who could imagine? I'm sitting there just thinking, wow, man, I'd like to shout. Who could imagine that God would do that? Who could imagine? I mean, we'd be more likely to think he might just change the law so we could all get off. He might just change the rule a little bit so we could all get away. But no, who could imagine that God Almighty would send his son to die on a cross for us? Who could imagine that? And yet, when we realize God is a God that goes all out, God has been a God that has always gone all out. Come on, folks. I mean, as Brother Williams preached last week, he made the sky blue so it'd be pretty. He made the grass green so we'd have a little variety. He made trees beautiful and the mountains majestic and all of that because he goes all out in everything he does. You see a sunset and you say, wow, isn't that amazing? Not really. It's beautiful, but in light of God, we should expect everything to be beautiful because God always goes all out for us. God always goes all out. And he sent his son, born of a virgin. Why do you suppose the devil wants to destroy that doctrine? Huh? Because Jesus had to be born of a virgin. He had to live a perfect life because he goes all out. He goes all out. All out for you and I to be saved. He's all out. Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4. Both of them talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is tempted of Satan. Satan says, if I could just get him to sin. Why? Because Jesus had to be perfect. He could not sin. He had to be perfect. He had to be the spotless, perfect Lamb of God. Now you talk about going all out, try to live one day without sin. Yeah, we all fail. Everybody. And Jesus had to live a whole lifetime of no sin. And in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, the Bible records the temptation of Satan tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. And he offered him all the things we want sinfully. Now, they're not necessarily bad things, but they can be bad things. And he offered him sinfully these things. He offered him where he would have to go against Scripture to accept these things. Where he would have to go against the Word of God, where he would have to sin. And he offered him provision. And he offered him power. And he offered him protection. And every temptation that Jesus was tempted with, oh, it was a temptation. It was one you and I would have fallen. In other words, to have provision, you're going to have to sin. Would you sin for provision? Or would you say, God, I trust you to provide? I mean, for power, he would have had to sin to have that power offered by Satan. Would you sin for power? Or would you say, God, I trust you to be the power in my life? Protection. I'll protect you, Satan said. Jesus, what will you do? Will you sin to have his protection, or will you trust the Father? Hey, every day, those three areas of our lives, they're poked at, their darts are thrown at, arrows are shot at, Satan pushes at, and he fights with us and tempts us with these things where we will not trust God, where we will sin against God. It's like a person marrying the wrong person. It's like a young person in a relationship that is a wrong relationship. What about trusting God to provide? Oh, this guy said, if I would do this, he'd love me. How about trusting God? He does love you. And on and on and on, and Jesus was tempted, but Jesus Christ stood. Why? Because he's an all-out Savior, that's why. Because he wasn't going to sin. He wasn't going to compromise. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. And why? Because he's all out. He's all out. He's an all-out Savior. And by the way, he didn't just die. The Bible says in Philippians 2:8, even the death of the cross. Oh, yeah, there's liberals all around trying to, he died of a heart attack, or he asphyxiated, or some other. No, no, he died hanging on a cross. He didn't die of old age. He didn't die of natural causes. He died because he was killed. He was crucified. He hung on a cross after being lashed with a cat of nine tails, after his body was broken, and he hung on that cross. No, he died the death of a cross. Why? Because he went all out. That's why. He went all out so that we could see how ugly, how gross, how nasty, how sin kills. Yeah. Well, we it's amazing sometimes how we sort of forget about all of that. And yet sin, the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And Jesus was accused. He was beaten. He was cursed at. He was spat upon. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. His body was ripped open. And he was nailed to a cross, even the death of the cross. It would not have done for him just to die of a heart attack. It would not have worked for him simply to die because a chariot ran over him. It would not have worked for him to die of old age. Listen to me. He died as a cursed man would die. Why? Because my sin was on him. That's why. Your sin was on him. That's why. He had to go all out. He's an all-out Savior. Who could pay that price? There was no one. There was no way. It could not happen. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Who could imagine? Who could imagine, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Who could imagine that? It's hard to imagine. But we have a Savior who's an all-out Savior. Do you know that before he was arrested, look at Matthew 26 and verse 53. Matthew 26 and verse 53. As the soldiers came to take Jesus, he said this, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Huh? At any time. Any time during the process, the first time a man with open hands slapped him across the face, the first time a man looked at him and cursed his name, the first time somebody from the crowd spit upon his face. Do you understand that any time as men grabbed his beard and started to pull it from his face, he could have called thousands and thousands of angels to come and end it all. At any time. At any time. First time the lash of the cat of nine tails wrapped around his chest and peeled the flesh back of his body. He could have said, "Enough!" and called the angels to stop it all. Are you listening? But why didn't he do that? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because he's an all-out Savior. See, why? How could me doing anything halfway work? How could we do anything just sort of as a Christian? How could we possibly do anything just casual as a Christian when we have such an all-out Savior? Because he could have ended it at any time. He was all out until he said these words, "It is finished." It was finished. Finished. All out. Just like in creation, there was nothing. There was everything. It's finished. Because he went all out. Jesus came. We celebrate Christmas. Born of a virgin. All out. Lived a perfect life. All out. Hung on a cross. All out. It is finished. But you know, it's amazing all the other religions. There are so many different groups and religions and everything else. And they all have their Savior, their leader, their one they look up to. But our Savior, when they put him in a tomb, the tomb couldn't hold him. Amen. Boy, you know what a great celebration we have at Easter. Huh? Because he lives, we too shall live. Amen. He's all out. He didn't come and die on a cross just to say he died on a cross. He came to die on a cross so he could be put in that tomb and so he could rise again and so death could be defeated so that it's defeated for us. And one of these days, you know, death is going to wrap its icy fingers around your neck and it's going to try to take you away. And you know what? We're not going to die as a Christian. We're going to live. Oh, the old body, it'll rot. But you know what? By that time, you know, our bodies are starting to, the older you get, the more they are not quite as reliable as they used to be. Boy, that's a politically correct way of putting it, isn't it? I like that. And it makes you feel almost good. But the truth is, one of these days it'll be new. Why? Because he rose from the grave. Why'd he raise from the grave, preacher? Because he's all out. He's all out, Savior. He's all out for us. From his birth to his life to his death to his resurrection, all out. And he's all out in offering this gift to us. That amazes me. What did he say? He said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you ever really thought about that? I am come. Years ago, there was a little campaign by Christians. They had a little button that said, I found it. I found, remember that? A lot of I found it. Truth of the matter is, you didn't find anything. He found you. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he sought me. That amazes me as I think about it. But it shouldn't amaze me because he's all out. He's all out. Remember the conviction. Remember as he's chasing you down. Remember folks giving you tracts. Remember somebody knocking on your door. Remember somebody talking to you about the Lord at work. Remember a relative saying, I'm praying for you. And you said, why? And remember when they talked to you about, hey, you need to be saved. And remember when that loved one said, you need to repent. And the Savior is seeking. And maybe you're here without Christ today and you say, you know, what in the world am I doing sitting here? Why am I listening to this guy? You know, I'll tell you why. Because there's a Savior that loves you. And he goes all out to get you saved, all out to give you the gift that he provided. Why? Because his love is all out. It's an all out kind of a love. And that's, again, that's how God is. He doesn't do anything halfway. He doesn't do anything sort of. He doesn't say, you know, I guess I'll start now and create the heavens and the earth and maybe in a couple thousand years, I'll finish it off. No. He goes all out in everything. And he went all out, and our salvation is paid for. If you're here today without Christ, you've never been saved. Understand, God has paid it all. Amen. What do you need to do? You need to do what you're going to do on Christmas Day. When you reach under that tree and you grab that package and your name's on it, you need to just take that gift and make it your gift. Praise God. That's what I did when I was 17 years old. And all over this room, people have said over the years, they said, you know, Jesus, I'll take that gift. Amen. I want that gift. And thank God he went all out. Thank God he went all out after you. Some of you found you in the bar. Some of you found you in an alley. Some of you he found you in your home. Some of you he found you in a hospital. Some of you he found you at a funeral home. Some of you he found you, you know, in some of the most odd places, strange places, you know. But thank God he found you. How'd he find? God, how'd you find me there? He found me in a home where we didn't go to church. He found me in a home of alcoholics. He found me in a home where my parents were divorced. He found me in a home which did not respect the things of God and, in fact, cursed the things of God. How'd you find me, God? Because I went all out. I went all out looking for you. Praise God. We have an all-out Savior. Number two, we have an all-out salvation. And this salvation, it's not religion. It's a whole lot bigger than any religion. It's all-out salvation. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 25. Boy, I like this. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He saves us to the uttermost. Why? It's all out salvation. Look at Romans 8, verse 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Hope you write these, mark these verses down. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Who? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's all-out salvation. It's an all-out salvation. Nothing can take your salvation from you. No one can take your salvation from you. Why? It's all-out. It's all out salvation. Romans 10, 13 says this, for whosoever, who is that? who is that? Whosoever. Put your name there. Put any name there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means white folks can. That means black folks can. That means that anybody can. That means that rich people can. That means the poorest soul can. That means that somebody whose life is a mess can. And that means somebody who thinks their life is okay can. Whosoever can. Whosoever will. It's all out. It's all. Nobody's excluded. It's not just for Americans. It's not just for a certain group. It's not just for a certain clique. It's for anybody, everybody, that person who's in the deepest pit, that person who is the poorest soul. He saved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And it's for anybody and everybody. It's all out. All out. It's not exclusive. Not exclusive to a bunch of, you know, a certain ethnic group. It's not exclusive to someone who keeps certain customs. No, it's for the poorest lost sinner on the face of this earth. Why? Because it's an all-out salvation. It's all out. It's for everyone. It's for anyone. None are excluded from His offer of salvation. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you said. Well, I remember I've cursed God before. Yeah, so did I. And God saved me. So did Saul. And Saul persecuted God. And God saved him. Amen. I'm just saying, it's because it's an all-out salvation. Hey, listen to me. You sit here today and say, "Oh, I could never be saved." You can be saved. You can be saved. It doesn't matter where you what you've done. Doesn't matter who you are. It's all out. It's all out salvation. God's salvation provides healing. The Bible says by His stripes we are healed. I'm not talking about physical healing. I'm talking about spiritual healing. My Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's healing. That's healed now. Though they be crimson, they shall be white as wool. And that wicked, vile sin can be under the blood of Jesus Christ and gone. Healing. Amen. I'm not talking about a salvation that just sort of glosses over a little bit of your sin. I'm not talking about something that just is here today, gone tomorrow. I'm talking about a blood of Jesus Christ that is eternal blood that covers my sin and will cover it into all eternity. It'll never be exposed before the eyes of God Almighty. It'll always be under His blood. Hallelujah. I mean, listen to me. It's an all-out salvation. Provides healing. It's an all-out salvation. Provides heaven for us. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about heaven, not hell. One of the greatest things about heaven is it's not hell. I'll tell you what, if you were sentenced to prison, you'd think anything but prison's a pretty good place. But then we get into what heaven really is like. Streets of gold. Mansions of glory. An inheritance. All that heaven has. I've written so many poems about heaven and thought about heaven so many times and tried to even imagine, and I don't even think I've touched it. You know, in my mind, I've got a chocolate lake right outside my mansion. Yeah. Amen. You're welcome. Come on over. It always replenishes. And it's not sugar-free chocolate. It's real. Of course, Linda Cook told me about sugar-free chocolate the other day, so I don't even want to talk about that anymore, but especially not from the pulpit. But hey, listen to me, folks. Some of you need to tell your face to be happy if you're saved today, because I'm telling you, it's an all-out salvation. Heaven is the perfect, perfect place. It's not just heaven, it's home. It's home. You understand? I've got a dad and a mom that are in heaven. I got grandma and grandpa. Grandma's cooking noodles, real noodles. I'm talking about rolled out noodles. I'm talking about cut into strips and sometimes roll the dough and eat it as dough. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, you are right with God. Others, I thought noodles came out of a bag. Oh, listen, folks, it's home. Heaven isn't just a place, it's home. Heaven isn't just a place with streets of gold and gates of pearl and mansions all around. It's home. It's home. And it's part of our all-out salvation. And by the way, this all-out salvation provides hope. It's the only hope that goes all the way into eternity. You hear people say, oh, I hope the recession ends soon. Oh, it will. It's going to end, isn't it? Amen. No recession in heaven. No recession there. Don't have to worry about the dollar and what its value is. Not in heaven. Nah. Things get tough. Just dig up a chunk of street. Amen. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Sell a cow. Cook a cow. Anyway. Oh, let me tell you, I'm talking about hope. I'm talking about real hope here. Amen? I'm not talking about, the election. Now we got to wait 4 more years. No, I'm talking about, listen to me, what is the worst thing that could happen to the child of God? We die and go to heaven. Not bad. Not bad. But see, that's because we have an all-out salvation. There's no problem with our salvation. Are you listening? Nothing wrong with it. It's all out. Nothing missing in our salvation. Nothing. I mean, look at it. Analyze it. Study it. Get your Bible out. There is nothing wrong with our salvation. It's perfect. Perfect salvation. There's no clause in it. There's no little, you got to read the fine print in the salvation. No, it's perfect salvation. It's free to you and I. It is never going to cost you a thing. You'll never get a price tag on it. You'll never get an invoice for it. I mean, it is yours. It is yours now. When you trust Jesus as Savior, He comes in and He is your Savior and you have all out salvation. And you can't lose it. It's all out. You can't lose it. Huh? Because if you could, you would. Anybody that believes you can lose your salvation, you did. Because if you could lose it, you would lose it. You know why? Because we're sinners. And if that and that's how you lose it. Are y'all following me? Hey, I mean, if you could, look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. Don't let me lose you here. We're just about done. I'm on the back page, halfway through. Somebody says, oh, lunch. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Boy, this is good. 1 Timothy 1, 12. Must be 2 Timothy 1, 12. It's all good. But I got a particular verse for the which cause, 2 Timothy. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. You ought to underline those three words right there. He is able. He is able. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He is able. Chapter 2 and verse 13 says this, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. That's my salvation. My salvation is not based on me. It's not based on anything to do with me. The only part me had in it is I'm a sinner needing saved. The only part me has in it is I had to call upon Him to save me. And when He saved, by the way, the word saved You either are or you aren't. What kind of saved is a saved that you lose? What kind of salvation is a salvation that ain't? I shouldn't use ain't on Sunday morning. Of course, Mary, she was using a lot of different kind of grammar. That's the song. Listen, folks, what kind of salvation isn't all out? You can't even use the word salvation. You use the word, that's okay. I guess you'd use the word religion. Because they're not the same. Salvation. All out salvation. That's why he says in 1 John 5:13, ye may know that ye have eternal life. All these folks walking around saying, well, I hope so. Go soul winning enough, knock on enough doors, you'll hear the words, I hope so. You'll hear the words, well, I go to church. You'll hear the words, well, I'm a good person. You'll hear all kinds of words, but here's the words that need to be said. I know I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know? Because God said so. That's how I know. Because God did it all. It is an all-out salvation. What in the world kind of salvation can be lost? Not all-out salvation. All-out salvation is good all the way through. All the way through. Praise the Lord. It's all out. Real quick, John 5, verse 24. I love this verse. And there are so many verses about our salvation. John 5 and verse 24. That's why you might want to read about it and put a smile on your face. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He has it. Has it. It is a possession. It is your life now. It is everlasting life. How long is everlasting? How long does it last? Ever, right? So when's it end? It doesn't. It's everlasting. Amen. The word everlasting means everlasting. In the original languages, you don't have to even be impressed with that. It's everlasting. It means it doesn't end. It doesn't ever end. It's everlasting. Watch this. And shall not come into condemnation, and shall not come into condemnation. You see that? You'll not be condemned. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody will separate you. You shall not come into condemnation. But watch this. But it's passed from death unto life. Okay, now if you're not dead, you're what? Okay, and if you're alive, you're not dead. Isn't that good? So that's deep. We didn't even have to get into the Greek. Huh? So if you're alive, you're not. And if you're not dead, you're. It's not a trick. You know, everybody. I don't know if I ought to answer. Hey, this is so good. But why would we be shocked? It's all out Savior. And so it's an all out salvation. No tricks. None of that. And then just to seal the deal, Ephesians 1. I'm so close to being done, it's unbelievable. Ephesians 1, verse 13. This is illustrated all over the place in this room this morning. All you have to do is look at a woman's left hand and on her ring finger, unless her husband maybe was broke at the time, she has a diamond. There are many different sizes of diamonds, but the fact is it doesn't really matter what size the diamond is. It's the promise that goes with it. And when a man slips that ring on her finger and he asks her a question, will you, and she accepts, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I will. He's saying, this is going to take place. And I'm going to put this diamond on your finger as earnest, as down payment, as engagement that we will be married. And watch this. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Here it is, verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And the Holy Spirit of God came inside and to live inside of me when I got saved. God said, that's the earnest. That's the down payment. That's the engagement, that's the proof that you're saved. Oh, glory to God. All out Savior, all out salvation. And then the last thing, number three, is we have all out scriptures to tell us all about this. God didn't just leave us trying to figure it all out on our own, because we're not very smart. And so God gave us the Word of God, which is all out. What do you mean? I mean, from in the beginning, that's where it starts, in the beginning, to the end, which says forever and ever. Right here, all out. It's all there. Everything. It tells us all. Do you understand? Everything you need to know is right here in this book. Everything. Tells us all the good. God even tells us all the bad. I've told you before, the thing that amazed me the most is when I was a new Christian is how God revealed His people. They were sinners, and He told us about it. I was shocked when I read about David. I couldn't believe it. David, what are you doing? David's doing all. But God tells us all about that. I'm so glad He told me about David. I am. I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't just, you know, David didn't just kill Goliath and wow, he's a great man. And David wasn't a man after God's own heart. Wow, he's a great guy. I'm glad God showed me the humanness so I could see this humanness and that there's hope. I'm so glad. But, you know, the scriptures are all out. Tells us everything. It's all out truth. All the truth is right there. That's why we don't often like it, because it shows us we're sinners. It's perfect. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says in the Psalms, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's all out. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 11. We look at this a lot. This is such a good, good verse. Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Everywhere God's word goes, it's accomplishing something. It's like seed. You know, it's just like seed, and everywhere it's planted, something happens. It accomplishes. Why would we be shocked? That's all out. That's the power of the word. It's not just a book. It's not just black words on white pages. Hey, it is the word of God, and it's quick, and it's powerful. It's powerful, according to 2 Timothy 3, to make us wise. Yeah, it's that powerful, the word of God. We have all out scriptures, all out that'll make you wise. Read it. It'll give you wisdom. You'll make decisions. People say, how'd you think of that? How'd you happen to do that? Well, you sure are lucky. Phooey on that. It's all out. I close with Romans 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. I hate to close. I'm having a good time. Romans 15, verse 4. The Bible says here, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. There is no book like our Bibles. Comfort? Why? You going through a tough time? Get in it. Just get in it and start reading it. And God will wrap His arms around you so quick. He'll give you comfort. And you concerned about the future? Oh, by the way, we have just under 2 weeks left. According to the Mayan calendar, it's over. Calendar ended. It's got to be done. Huh? You say, I'm concerned about that. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Read at the end. We win. It's okay. You know what that is? That's hope. Ah, you Christians. You think everything's going to be all right? It is. It is going to be all right. Does that mean it's going to be all right tomorrow? Yeah, eventually it'll be all right. Does that mean I'm not going to step in some mud? No, I probably will. Does that mean you're not going to have a flat tire? No, you probably will. Does that mean the washing machine isn't going to break? No, it'll probably break. Does that mean you're not going to slip and fall and break your leg? No, you probably will. More than likely, the way things are going, somebody else will have knee surgery. We're on a roll. Oh, we're getting new knees all over the church. It's probably so we can kneel. But here's the thing, though. We can always get in this book because it's all out. And we get hope. And we get peace. And we get God's comfort. And I hope you have it today. I really hope you do. Because we have an all-out Savior who gave an all-out salvation. And he tells us about it in the all-out Scriptures, the Word of God. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.